This is Coach Myrna Young, lifestyle entrepreneur and certified professional coach. And you are listening to the Transform Your Mind to Transform Your Life radio hour and podcast. I believe it takes a mindset shift to take you to the next level in your career, your finances, relationships, health and fitness, or happiness. So, your journey to manifesting your goals and desires starts now. Transform your mind to transform your life. Welcome to the Transform Your Mind to Transform Your Life radio hour and podcast. Today we are doing this live, and my guest today is the fabulous Dr. Trey Ahia, and we are going to be talking on the topic of Are All Psychopaths Predators? The Jeffrey Epstein Story. Welcome, Dr. Trey.
Hi. I like the format.
Yes. And this is also our virgin, live video Zoom format. So right. I hope we don't have too many technical difficulties as I'm running this. All right. So there have been some subjects that have always fascinated me, and one of them are sociopaths. This fascination began when I read the book, The Psychopath Next Door. And this was a story about a man who selected this woman because of her vulnerability. And a side note, just want to let you know that sociopaths always choose their victims. He actually knocked on her door one day and began a friendship. Then he got her to move away from her friends and family to this remote house in England. Side note again, sociopaths always want to get you away from your friends because your friends and family strengthen you. Jeffrey Epstein, who we're going to be talking about today, had his island in the Virgin Islands. All right, so this house in England where the sociopath took this woman was a large Victorian home. The man, let's call him Jim, told her that he inherited this property and had her suggest that they modernize the house with her money. Later in the story, after she had escaped with her life, she found out that the property was actually rented. It was a con to get her money. Another note, sociopaths are liars. Then Jim started abusing her verbally, emotionally, then physically. He told her that if she ever left him, he would kill her. Every time she attempted to leave, he would find her and punish her. Finally, in desperation, she walked for miles one night in the freezing cold to someone's house and hid there. Side note again, sociopaths always keep you in control with abuse. Remember the Robert Kelly documentary? All the women said that he controlled them with physical abuse and punishment, like starvation, when they disobeyed his orders. And his orders were like, you got to ask me before you go to the bathroom, else you're going to be punished, something like that. So like I said, this story imprinted on my mind. And since then, I have been always being on the lookout for sociopaths. Almost all of them are good-looking and charming, and they use this asset to reel in their victims. Jeffrey Epstein was no different. He was good-looking and charming and was able to charm his way into getting jobs as a teacher and a securities broker without having any of the necessary paperwork because he had dropped out of college. As a predator, they all also use this good-looking charm to make women fall for them. And after they get them emotionally tied, they switch from charming to becoming a monster. Sociopaths are almost also narcissistic. They can feel no emotion, and so they do unconscionable things without even batting an eyelid. Jeffrey Epstein raped hundreds of children for decades by luring them with $200. He knew that to a 14-year-old, $200 was a lot of money. He knew that if he ordered a call girl or a prostitute, the price for a massage and sex would be $2,000, not $200. But then, of course, they wouldn't turn him on. Only young girls turned him on. So, sociopaths are also dishonest. In my story, Jim swindled over $100,000 from his victim to modernize a house that he did not own. Jeffrey Epstein was also a thief. He stole $46 million from one of his employers and was fired from another one for stealing. So, to answer the question, for me as a, you know, a life coach and not from the doctor's point of view, I'm going to say that sociopaths are predators because they're always looking for their next victim. They might not be all in like Jeffrey Epstein and Robert R. Kelly, but they are predators who charm women, men, and children out of whatever their prize is. They are sociopaths right now scamming old people out of their last dollar and have no remorse for these seniors that have no funds left to live out their lives. All right, so that was my intro to the topic. And I did bring on Dr. Trey Ahia because she is a psychologist and we're talking about a condition of the mind. So, Dr. Trey, can you lead us into the conversation? And one of the things I want to ask you right off the bat, I used the term sociopath because that's the more popular one, but I've always called these people psychopaths. So maybe you can tell us, first of all, what's the difference between a sociopath and a psychopath, and then we can talk about whether they're predators or not.
Well, for me, I don't use either term.
Okay.
It's a lame term. Mm-hmm. And you're speaking about an antisocial personality disorder.
Okay.
So there's records of several people in our lifetime, like Jeffrey Dahmer's and some other individuals, now Jeffrey Epstein, who can be diagnosed with that. And so the reason why I use that term, the actual term, from a psychological perspective, a diagnostic criteria is attached to that term. So there are seven diagnostic criteria that we would use in order to diagnose someone with that. And you described some of those things.
Okay, go ahead. So you want to go? I know, seven, right? I was telling you at one point in time that I read that. And a lot of the times when I come across someone that I think I call them a psychopath or whatever in my mind, I'm like ticking them off by those things. So tell us what those seven things are.
So the diagnostic criteria, one, we have letters A, B, and C. Mm-hmm. And letter A, there's a pervasive pattern. Now, this is what you were speaking about with him and R. Kelly as well, a mm-hmm. disregard for and violation of the rights of others.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Clearly, those men certainly could, you know, adhere to that.
Right.
And then it's occurring usually since the age of 15 years.
Mm.
See, that's the piece, as indicated by three or more of these seven. So one is a failure to conform to social norms with respect to lawful behaviors, as indicated by repeatedly performing acts that are grounds for arrest. And we saw that with both of those individuals that we are talking about today. Okay. Number two, deceitfulness. Very much so. Very mm-hmm. deceitful. Scamming a gentleman that he worked with out of millions of dollars. Yeah. He taught at a school without the proper credentials.
Yep. Yep.
Deceitful.
Yes.
Said he went to certain schools and never attended the schools, the colleges.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You know, so the repeated lying and uses, some of these men even use aliases. They con mm-hmm. others for their own profit, their personal profit and pleasure. Clearly, right? So yep. far, he's gotten two of those criteria.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Number three is impulsivity or failure to plan ahead. Number four would be irritability, aggressiveness, as indicated by repeated fights or assaults. Interesting, right?
Okay.
Number five, reckless regard for safety of self and others.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Number six, consistent irresponsibility as indicated by repeated failure to sustain consistent work behavior or honor financial obligations. And number seven, a lack of remorse.
Yeah.
As indicated by being indifferent to or rationalizing having hurt, mistreated, or stolen from another individual.
Yeah.
And then the B in that would be the individual is at least 18, so yes. The C, there's evidence of conduct disorder with onset before age 15. That's interesting. I wonder if we were able to get back into his files as a young man or as a teenager, would we find issues surrounding conduct disorder?
Hmm.
And then D,
interesting.
D, the occurrence of antisocial behavior is not exclusively during the course of a schizophrenia or bipolar disorder. So that's another component there. Did this person suffer from any other mental issues like schizophrenia or bipolar disorder? So that's a concern that needs to be addressed as well.
Yeah.
But certainly with this Epstein gentleman, he, you know, had the comforts of wealth.
Right. So did R. Kelly.
And yes, they did. And, they had the unfortunate piece for some may say that they had testosterone roaming through their bodies.
Oh, okay.
Which, and testosterone in men tends to be a challenge in how they can corral those sexual feelings. And, you know, if we look at the brain, the hypothalamus is the seat of that, you know, for the limbic system, in other words. So, you know, I can imagine that it may be a struggle for some males to rein that in.
Yeah, that's when we're so that's with the sexual part of it, with the sexual predators, because, yeah, I was actually very, very surprised that when Jeffrey Epstein did go to prison the first time for 18 months, and he got himself out on a work permit, that he was still bringing women in to his office to have sex. And that made me realize that he couldn't stop. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a compulsiveness. Remember, Ted Bundy did the same thing. They incarcerated him. He got out twice. He escaped twice and went on the same behavior. He continued the same exact behavior with those women, killing and murdering and having sexual encounters with them.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's part of the impulsiveness and also part of the testosterone, where you're saying that they probably have too much testosterone and that's why they can't stop sex or act. So
not that it's too much, because there are men who, you know, are able to control themselves. However, when you look at the difference between how female bodies are constructed and designed with minimal amounts of testosterone and greater amounts of progesterone and estrogen, our behaviors tend to be a little different in terms of our sexual prowess and that sort. And then men, because testosterone gives us that we're able to build our muscles, our aggressiveness becomes more pronounced. So just think about reining all of that in. And then, so there are many variables when we think about these behaviors. There are many variables, how the person was, their environment, how they were nurtured. All of that plays a role in their ability to continue this. He couldn't stop. Ted Bundy could not stop.
Right.
R. Kelly could not stop.
Right.
These men have to be incarcerated. Yeah. They have to be incarcerated.
Yep.
And even death.
Yeah, because like you just remember, like R. Kelly, the situation has been with him for years now, and he keep getting off. And you would think, okay, you would say to yourself, my goodness, they're on to me. I better stop. But he didn't stop either, and neither did Jeffrey Epstein. He didn't stop. No.
And Epstein
was a little richer.
Yeah, he knew that someone knew about him, and he just could not stop. He just couldn't stop.
Right. Well, yeah, two different cases in a sense where I personally think that the reason Jeffrey Epstein did not stop, sure, he had no remorse. He didn't care about these women. He just cared about himself. He's, you know, they call him narcissistic. You can call him a sociopath. You can call him all these different things. But he knew, or he thought, that he can buy his way out. And he did. I mean, I was quite impressed that the first time that when he was tried, he had eight lawyers, a team of eight lawyers. Can you imagine how much that cost him? But that's what rich people,
he had it.
They throw this up. Now, R. Kelly was poor. I mean, he couldn't even afford a proper lawyer. That's why he's still in jail. But
Is that why?
He was, you know, by the time he got arrested, he was broke. So he couldn't even afford bail. They did give him bail. He couldn't afford it. And I think some women, but, you know, so I think
it's a little different in terms of him getting out because of his offenses.
Right. So, all right. Yeah. So I want to swing back to something you said about a lot of times these conditions, this antisocial behavior, as you're technically recalling it, starts at 15, I think you said.
Yes, the onset.
If your child is going to a therapist, and the therapist would notice this behavior, it starts at 15.
Not that it starts.
Right. Okay.
15, and it not necessarily. The point is that it's occurring since that. There's things we may see leading up to that.
Okay.
But by 15, clearly then, that's one of the criteria that would help the clinician to properly diagnose that individual.
Right. Yeah. And I also remember that I had a foster child that was diagnosed with conduct disorder, and the psychologist told me that when they're children, it's called conduct disorder, and when they become an adult, then it transitions into psychopathy or sociopathy or whatever. And you just mentioned that.
So yes.
What's the connection there?
So yes, in our Bible, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual that we use to help diagnose individuals so that we can provide appropriate treatments for them, that is some of the criteria. When we look at someone's conduct when they're younger, they don't have the ability to be around many people without supervision.
Okay.
As they would when they get to be in their later teens. We give children, humans, more freedom to do. So that's when perhaps we might see that transition. And then one of the things that's critical about humans and animals is that repetition of behaviors, the repetition. So if I know that when I was younger, I was always, I think about Jeffrey Dahmer in this piece when we talk about his conduct. I'm comfortable maybe killing an animal. I get in the habit of doing that. No one's around. I'm 11, 12, 13, 14.
Yeah.
Hey, I wonder what it would be like to do the same to an adult for whatever reason. Maybe he wanted to hear the person's heart or whatever, or touch the squirrel or the roadkill's body parts. I wonder how it would be to feel a human's body parts or heart or what have you. So it transitions to that as an adult. It's unfortunate.
Yeah. I remember, listen, like I said at the very beginning, that this subject has always fascinated me. And I think I remembered recently there was a movie about a young boy. I don't remember the name of the movie. I don't remember, but he started killing animals, right? And yes, and skinning them just to see or whatever. And he would go and pick up the dead animals that were the ones that he didn't kill. He also went by on the road and picked up the animals that are by the roadside and skinned them just so that he can experiment. And then he started with people. That's what basically you're saying. And sometimes even with, you know, I am assuming that there is a few female people with antisocial behaviors. And, you know, the parents couldn't go back to when they were little girls, they would kill their baby dolls, you know, or they're not, can't kill them. They're like, turn off their head and, you know, what I mean? And then they go and they look at, you know, how they treated the animals, you know, with they punished the animals and always make them scream and yell and all that. So even though I think what you're saying is that this behavior can be viewed from 15 years old or diagnosed or put a label on it. If you go back to their childhood, you probably will see what's the evidence of you know, the same antisocial behavior, you know, hitting kids, biting kids, you know, kicking animals, you know, breaking up your dolls or breaking off their heads and that kind of thing, correct?
Well, so one of the things that interests me about that piece, I mean, can we actually pinpoint in anyone when this behavior happened? So in my brain and studying human behavior, I always look at two things. One, the predisposition. Is there a familial link between some type of psychological issues, mental health issues, and that person's familial link, their lineage? Mm-hmm. And then what was the person's environment like? When you grew up, what did you look at a lot? What did you notice adults doing, saying, observing? What did I have my child as the parent? What did I expose my child to? So for me, those are two key elements that guide me down the path to be able to not only diagnose, but to provide treatment for this individual. So if there's a parent that says, oh, I noticed that my child, like Epstein's mom or dad, might have noticed some type of behaviors with him. Mm-hmm. Well, what did they do to help him to change those behaviors? What some folks won't do anything, and they just discount it as, oh, he'll grow out of it. She'll grow out of it. And that's something
really interesting.
Take a look at
none of the documentaries on Epstein and the documentary on R. Kelly, Robert R. Kelly, I should say, none of them went to his childhood. They started, you know, so. Right. I don't know about.
They did look at his childhood.
Go ahead.
Oh, they did look at his childhood in those documentaries in great detail.
Robert Kelly?
Yes, they did. They looked at his in great detail and found out from his brothers that he had been sexually assaulted by a male and female.
Right.
And if, you know, people take pictures of their children, people take pictures. Mm-hmm. Each year, the school takes a picture of us. Mm-hmm. If you, depending on, you can almost tell when an individual has that break from the norm. If you look at the picture. Yes. That's even nice. If you look at, well, you can see a sadness come over the individual. And it tells in their face on those pictures. You know, some of them, you can really
That's
tell.
That's good information. Yeah.
Yes. So it's nice when you say, oh, let me see when you're trying to learn something about somebody, oh, let me see your, you have a photo album, you know, and you can tell a lot from someone from looking at those annual pictures each year.
They grow. That's very true. They didn't talk to Robert R. Kelly's parents, but they did speak to his brothers and stuff like that. That's probably why I missed that. But they're saying that the reason that he became a sexual predator is because he himself was
perpetrated upon.
Right, exactly.
Sexually assaulted as well.
And so did you study Jeffrey Epstein? How did he become there? I don't remember hearing anything about his childhood in the documentary.
So I haven't had the opportunity yet to delve in. I just started kind of being aware. I knew that I came into the picture when there were reports of this man killing himself in jail and the controversy over that. So if you remember that time period, that's when I became privy to his case. So I haven't had the time yet to delve back to see, like, okay, what's going on with this young man? Where did he develop these inappropriate behaviors, you know, what was going on in his environment, you know?
Yeah. And because he was not born rich. He's, you know, he became rich by, you know, that's all con. This is amazing what you can do with a con. You can become a billionaire. Wow.
Con, but as a man and as a Caucasian man, the perception of society is that this Caucasian person certainly wouldn't scam me. And I see, you know, people look at what they see and they take that as the basis for judging an individual. Oh, his wealth and, you know, all of those types of elements is what would drive someone away from the negative thought process in judging an individual.
So, so it would be interesting to see if he was poor or something and went after wealth because, and then decided to use his money to buy women and, you know, whatever. But it was very, you know, I'm not saying that I'm sorry for him, but I think it's very sad that he doesn't have any heirs or anybody, you know, never married or married one time.
Oh, I think that's great that he doesn't.
But I mean, like, you live your life in that, you know, that's something that you should want. And I remember in the documentary, him and his girlfriend, you know, asked one of the girls to have a baby for them. So obviously something they were thinking about, but it never materialized. Right. So
isn't that all the way the universe works?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think R. Kelly has any, he does his children. Right?
Yeah, he does. But we wouldn't want any of Epstein's genes, genetic pool to still be.
Yeah. Because it's passed on, isn't it?
Oh, some, like I said before, predisposition.
Predisposition.
Predisposed to a mental health issue. And perhaps it someone in his lineage may have had some type of mental health issue, and his may have manifested itself in this particular form, antisocial personality disorder. Yeah.
Wow.
Kim Free Naturally is a Black-owned small business that pride themselves on vegan-friendly, paraben-free, all-natural body butters, body creams, and body scrubs, which will keep your skin moisturized with a natural glow. This mother and daughter team started this company after finding no beauty products that offered natural products. Visit them at www.chemfreenaturally.com and find natural products for your natural skin. Follow them as well on Facebook and Instagram. That is chemfreenaturally.com. Are you ready to unleash your inner voice? Then join Coach Michaela Gaston in her 3-hour masterclass to help you make your next move. You will discover how to use self-expression, breathing, reflecting, and meditations to help you get in touch with your inner voice that will propel you to make your next big move in any endeavor in your life. Go to voiceyourvision.net to join Amy from May 28th live on demand on Zoom. Enroll in Voice Your Vision today at 50% off the retail price. That's voiceyourvision.net. VoiceYourVision.net and unleash your inner voice. No greater love, no greater sacrifice. A collection of poetic psalms is an inspirational book authored by Jeremiah F. Stevens that serves as a constant reminder to Christian followers to stay on the true path and further progress their spiritual development. The book also features real-life short stories to complement the themes presented within the book and help readers rekindle their faith in the Christian path. Pick up your copy today of No Greater Love, No Greater Sacrifice, now available on Amazon. Have you been furloughed by the COVID-19 pandemic and looking for extra income? We have a solution for you. Head over to www.joinfundbiz.com and partner with a team you can trust who will treat you like family, marketing organic products that work, targeting weight loss and inflammation. We have over 80 natural, organic, and CBD products. With everything that's happening in the world, we all need a plan B. You can work part-time or full-time. You can work from home and get paid instantly. This is an independent contractor position. Take a free tour to learn more. www.joinfunbiz.com. That's JOINFUNBIZ.com. High medication costs are hard to swallow. Whether you're ordering your medication online or picking it up in person during the pandemic, we are helping our patients get the most savings they need for all of their FDA-approved prescription medication. Download the card once and use it forever. If you have health insurance, use the card as an alternative and spend less than your copay. No insurance equals guaranteed savings. Use at all chain pharmacies. Visit JohnsonRxDiscounts.com and use code RxJohn40 for a 40% discount. That website again is JohnsonRxDiscounts.com, which is JohnsonRxDiscounts.com.
All right, well, that's a good intro to the sociopath, psychopath, and your definition was antisocial.
Not my definition.
Antisocial, right, okay. So that was a good intro to it. But we also want to talk about, you know, how does it lead them to become predators? And I'm not just talking about predators, sexual predators, but the narcissistic piece where you have no conscience and you don't care what you do and you're just into your fulfilling of your desires. And you mentioned a couple of individuals that I'm not, you know, well versed on. I've heard about them. You talked about Dahmer, you talked about Bundy, and you talked about all those. And I'm assuming that you put them in this conversation because they've also been diagnosed with what we're talking about here, right?
Well, I don't know if they have been diagnosed. I don't know.
Okay.
I have heard, but perhaps certainly by behaviors, antisocial. Right. Now you can see it that they met many of the criteria that we discussed already. Right. They met a lot of it.
Right. So let's talk about you know, even my story, for instance, the guy that you know, targeted this woman, obviously because she had money and he was charming.
I don't know if that's obvious, but okay.
Well, it is because he took $100,000 from her, right? So, I mean, a sociopath or antisocial person is not going to target you unless you have nothing. It's either they want something, right? So, he targeted her. I think her husband had just died and he knew that she had some money and he started to be her friend. And then, you know, the story progressed where he told her that he had this place that he wanted to, he got inherited and you needed to move. And then when they got there, you know, the house was run down and old. And he, you know, told her that they were, that he was going to marry her and that they were going to live in this house and took all her money. And then the abuse started and then she couldn't leave. And it became a mess. She couldn't leave. He threatened to kill her. She feared for her life. He took all her money. And of course she was in a different country with no friends and family. So that's what we want to talk about. We want to talk about somebody that has this predisposition. We can label them anything, but you know, for someone that's listening to our conversation today, how would they go about in life looking for somebody that is ingenuine, someone that's just out to get whatever you got that they want?
Those that are listening and seeing us. Yay.
That's right. Yes. I forgot that part. Yes.
So you're saying, how would they be able to identify by an individual like that?
Right.
Oh, wow. Well, one thing, time, and they don't want to trust the individual. You want to be more cognizant of who you're trusting of. Okay. You want to be aware of someone asking you about your life in terms of your financial abilities. And you want to be more cognizant of the fact that, and then an individual could limit the frequency that they visit your place to stay, your dwelling. Mm-hmm. Go visit their dwelling. Go see where they live. You know, go see what their lifestyle is like. Talk to their family members. Don't even allow them to come to your home for at least 90 days.
Okay. So those are some rules. I like that. So let's bring it down a little bit to men that just use and abuse women. I know that you tells me that you have got a lot of experience in that. You were in a panel with that. So the same thing, antisocial behavior, where it's a Jeffrey Epstein, but on a maybe an individual or maybe 10, 20 women or whatever. But you know, so a lot of times, you know, you're lonely. A lot of times you need something, and whatever it is that you need, I know about enough about this conversation to know that whatever it is that you need, the sociopath or the antisocial behavior person can pick it out. And actually, they said that Jeffrey Epstein had the ability to read you. And whatever it is that they think that you want, that they're going to offer to give to you so that they can start taking you down this path.
Okay. Yes. So when I worked with families who have children that have been sexually assaulted, one of the first things I say to the parents is, now your child has the 50% likelihood of being sexually assaulted again, because pedophiles tend to know, they have a great idea, they have a sense that this.
You're giving me chills. I'm feeling that. You're giving me chills, right?
Yes. So perhaps it is the same with a predator like the Jeffrey Epstein's. Now, one of the things that I like to make people aware of is, unfortunately, you have to be guarded. You have to be guarded when you're meeting new people. Now we have the internet and people are meeting each other online and that sort. And a lot of folks like you and I, we clean up pretty well.
Yeah.
Right? So who would think, If you're looking for a gentleman friend, just even a friend, mm-hmm. and he cleans up pretty well, and you've been dating him now for maybe 12 weeks or so, what are some of the red light things, the red flag indicators that are going to say, oh, stop? So let me tell you what happens. Humans tend not to listen to that inner voice. We tend not to listen because we are, like you said, we're needy, we're lonely, we want.
Yes.
And what we have to, what individuals need to start to focus on is what's important for me to live life is with as less stress as possible and without the drama and as comfortably as possible. If we focused on those things, like what's helpful for me, and you know, even though this person is presenting so well, that one thing, might have clicked that red flag. That's the one thing you need to pay attention to and begin to distance yourself from that individual. Yeah. Hands down, that intuition that you have is accurate.
Most people walk right over that red flag. I know exactly what you're talking about. They walk right over it. And sometimes there's something that says love is blind. Sometimes they don't even see it. Yeah. So many times I've listened to stories where there are dozens of red flags and they went right through it until one thing penetrates, and then one thing penetrates, and then they notice all the things that are, you know, like that went before, because they're in love and this emotion takes over. And
well, that's
this person is good at what they do.
And the other thing is, because a lot of times you said people will ignore these signs or not be aware of those signs. It may be because they have a habit of being exposed to these types of individuals. So there's a habit. And what happens when we are involved in habits? They become a way of life.
Right. Yes, yes. You don't notice it. Wow.
Who did this? You know, my dad did this.
And
my mom's boyfriend, you know, so there's a habit there.
My ex-boyfriend did it. Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's not until they meet other strong women, or some people go to college and have classes like some of the ones I teach, or they become aware of this thing that they are attracted to. And they learn later on how to change what they are projecting, so they'll draw something different.
That's good. That's good. Because it's very true. Whatever we put out, that's what we get back.
My people, it's time to exit the matrix. Exit the matrix. On Cotton for the Soul podcast, we give a raw and unfiltered perspective on eating a plant-based diet to emancipate our minds, body, and spirit up out of this matrix. Hey, we got people. Let's get our shit together. We are the chosen generation our ancestors dreamed of. Whether you've taken the pill of knowledge or the pill of blissful ignorance, tune in and listen from down the rabbit hole at cottonforthesoul.com. Hungry for more? We upload a new episode every Thursday at cottonforthesoul.com.
You've grown your business as far as you can, and now it's time to take it to the next level. The Red Development Group has more than 20 years' experience as entrepreneurs and business coaches, recognizing the need to fill a gap in the marketplace, especially for women business owners like themselves. They offer business coaching that can help you understand the value and potential growth of your company. They will show you how to create realistic and achievable business plans, and will connect you with the support systems and resources necessary to grow. They are having a seminar in Atlanta this summer, and you are invited. Let the Red Development Group Master Coaches help you and your team take the complexity out of strategy planning so that you reach and exceed your business goals. If you are determined to increase the profits in your business, let Team Red help you prepare for that journey. The Red Development Group has successfully helped their clients double their revenue in as little as 10 months. So, if you are ready to better manage your business, build the A-team that will help you win and support you on your journey, apply today at redwomen.win. That's redwomen.win. How would you like to grow your sales over the next 90 days? Dotlogix is an e-commerce web design and growth agency that has a vested interest in seeing your business grow. As more and more consumers are shopping online, now is the time to take your online business to the next level with a growth-driven website. They can help boost your sales in 90 days or less. It's been a challenging year so far, and they will help you adapt your strategy to thrive in 2020. Get a custom-crafted website that's not only functional, but speaks to your customers or audience in a way that moves them to action. They are seasoned online marketers that will help you design and implement digital marketing campaigns that generate leads that convert to sales. To learn more or schedule a time to talk, visit dotlogix.com. dotlogics. dotlogix.com. When it comes to servicing your garage door, you need someone fast and reliable. O'Brien Garage Doors is family-owned and operated. They provide residential garage door services, including repair, sales, installation, and more throughout the United States. O'Brien Garage Doors, online at obriendoor.com, has been proudly serving their customers for over 30 years. Their technicians are certified and trained to take care of all your garage door needs and are always courteous and happy to help. For over 30 years, they have been helping homeowners just like you with their garage door repairs, installation, and replacement. O'Brien Garage Doors is a national company based out of Arlington, Texas, and serving over 15 metro areas across the continental United States. Call them toll-free nationwide at 888-937-0061 to set up an appointment. Get your garage door tuned up for just $49.50. O'Brien Garage Doors, fast and reliable garage door services. Visit obriendoor.com or find them on Google for a location near you.
Looking for love while social distancing just got easier for LGBTQ women of color. Be True, Be You was created just for you. It's a Black-owned dating community for women of color to find meaningful relationships or friendships based on personality. Join now. The first 30 days are free. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook. Love starts with you and ends with Be True, Be You.
Right. If we skipped over the part where the person that's, a sociopath, a psychopath, antisocial behavior, we're going to put them all three together. They are able, they choose their victims because they know the ones that are going to be vulnerable. And we go right back to R. Kelly. R. Kelly even though he liked girls or the same age as Jeffrey Epstein. Yes. In the documentary, there were a couple of 30-year-olds, and I would never forget what one of the 30-year-olds says. He says, if you have a weak mind, regardless if you're 30 or you're 14, he's going to target you because he can pick up the fact that you have a weak mind. And how did he control them? He controlled them by telling them when they can eat, when they can go to the bathroom. As far as I know, Jeffrey Epstein didn't really have relationships. He just
with the one lady.
With the one lady. Right.
Yeah. And then
but the girls that he sexually abused, they came, they give him a massage, do what he needed to do, and they left, right? He wasn't keeping them in his house or anything.
He developed relationships with the ones he abused who were extremely needy. There was one young lady that didn't have, she was really kind of homeless since the time she was little. She was introduced to him at the age of 14, and she continued to get other women to him. And then there was another young girl who continued to bring him women, and he developed those types of relationships with them. There were, pseudo relationships, but still, they were relationships nonetheless.
Yeah. So what can we learn from the Jeffrey Epstein story that we can pass on to our listeners as well, or people that are watching us today? What advice would you give to young girls, women, to look out for these predators?
Well, now we have to give this type of advice to our young children. Males and females.
Yes, males and females.
Because people will try to manipulate them and do things to them to get them to perform sex acts and win them over at a very young age. There was someone, one of Jeffrey Epstein's birthdays, they gave him 3 12-year-old girls as a birthday gift.
Yeah, I remember that.
So my thought, and if you saw some of the images of some noted men today, powerful men today who think that this behavior is okay. They hung out with him. They partook, and some of them have daughters of that same age.
Yeah.
So it's almost like it's, part of the men's club. it's okay to do this. You know, well, they're kids, they're girls. In some European countries, in some Middle Eastern countries, the idea is to get little boys. Mm-hmm. And they pay them $2 for the entire day.
I know. Yeah.
Yes. And they sodomize these boys, which is so hurtful. Yes. So when we're talking to people who have never experienced that, never experienced it, I tell parents, it's okay to be quote unquote a helicopter parent. It's okay to not let your kids spend the night over so-and-so's house. It's okay to be a hands-on, face-to-face with your kid until they are at least 18. On into college. Yeah. From 0 to 18, you're constantly putting in information about how these people behave and what to watch out for. And you're not going to a sleepover. And if you go to a party at the school, I'm going to be one of the chaperones. Yeah. If I let you go overseas to a trip, I'm going to go overseas with you and be a chaperone. Yeah. If you value your child's life, and you do not want your child to be fractured into pieces as a result of this trauma, because it is a trauma.
Yeah.
Those are some of the things that we should proudly do for our children.
Yeah.
I work in the education field right now, and there are people that will become educators or social workers on campuses, or they'll work with the children because they know they have time to be with them alone.
Oh, wow. That is true. Yeah, we had a, right here in Fort Myers, there was an incident where someone was a coach, and that's what he was doing. Yes,
coaches. I've been privy to some teachers who are older individuals who transition from one particular career as they age to another career, and they have to be fired because we find out that they're pedophiles.
Yeah. So sad.
So as a for me personally, I have never ever, before this became a thing, I have never ever been alone with a child behind a closed door.
Yeah.
Couple of reasons.
And you're female.
Children, right.
Yeah. But right. Yeah.
Children, they need to feel safe.
Safe. Right.
So when they come into my office, I won't take an office that doesn't have a window somewhere in it.
Yeah.
If the I tell the child they can leave the door open.
Yeah.
So, and they can sit near the door. My desk is away from the door, and where our sitting space is, I always, you can have a seat where you're comfortable, but I make it so that the door is there for them because of the traumas.
That's good.
That they've experienced.
Yeah.
It's not about me per se.
Yeah.
It's more about making them feel comfortable. So that they're able to disclose to me some of the experiences that they've had, and then I can help them seek help and that sort. So
I've had a lot to make them comfortable and let them realize that you're not going to be one of those people that have hurt them. As you were talking, I remember there was this thing that was going around Facebook not too long ago. When the Me Too movement started, where all these women came out and talked about how they were sexually abused. And there was something that, you know, came out. The guy says, you know, you women should be more careful who you're just leaving your kids to for free babysitting, because that's exactly what happened. They don't have any, especially in the Black community, you don't have any money to pay babysitter. So you send it to an uncle, an aunt, or whoever. And then those are even cousins, family members, friends that come in and abuse your children. There's so many incidents of that.
Same-aged sexual predators. Same age.
Yeah, but I wasn't even talking about the same age. I'm talking about the aunties and uncles, but you're very right, too.
No, I know what you were saying.
Younger boys, like when they're starting to be, you know, 15, 16, I mean, whenever. Yeah. But they abuse the young ones too. It's very true. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's a world that we're living in where the predators start young. They learn the behavior. They continue going after it. You know what I mean? They perfect the behavior, and women that, and men or whoever that that have this need that they need someone else to fulfill, this is basically what happens. When you decide that you are all that you need, and if someone's coming around and that person is going to, you know, expand you, but you're okay by yourself, then you cut out, you know, needed for someone to be a predator to you, because they're a predator to you because they're attaching to your vulnerability and your need to have someone in your life. And that's why you ignore all the red flags. And that's why you ignore most things. And then, and then when you come out of it, like you said, you're in pieces. And then the next person are able to smell that, like a dog that can smell fear, you know, they're able to sense it. And then, you live a life that's worse, right?
One of the things that people who behave inappropriately like that, even criminals of other genres, they will test you. Part of what they do to groom you is to test you.
Really?
Like, for example, in Epstein case, one of the girls said, I'm not doing that. You know, he wanted to put his hand down below. I'm not doing that, you know. So he did certain things. First of all, he had someone else bring you over.
Right.
Then that person stood next. So you saw, you went upstairs, you saw this room still. Mm-hmm. So that's part of the test. Still, I didn't say no, even though something tells you this is not right.
Right. Right.
So you, then you go into the, once you go into the room, you see the him laying on the
bed
table.
Naked. Right.
Still, he's constantly putting you to the test.
Yep.
Then your friend leaves you.
Yeah. And you still stay. Right.
You still, so all the flags are just flying. Hey, run.
That is so true. Oh my God. That's amazing.
Then he says something to you.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't feel right, but you still stay.
And guess what? After he asks you a question, that's when he turns over. After he realizes that that's true. He doesn't turn over
and
ask the right question. Right.
In your youth and in your innocence, it's taking advantage of someone's youth and innocence from 0 to about 21 or 22. We're still trying to sort things out. Yes. We're a playground for these pedophiles between 0 and 22.
Yeah.
So and one of the things about Jeffrey that he didn't even drug the people.
No.
He didn't even drug them. Smooth operator. But all the red flags.
Because like I said, they promised a $200. The $200 was put at the forefront. The girl that took him over said, do you want to make $200 to massage an old man? And the $200 is all that's playing in their head because they probably never had $200, right? So, and that's why they stay. And he did give them the $200, right?
Well, those girls, some of those girls were wealthy girls.
No,
their parents
poor.
Some of the girls, not all, were wealthy.
Okay.
Do you remember the school? They talked about
in West Palm Beach. They showed you the area, and most of them came from they were poor. The wealthy ones might have come from up, right? Okay,
not all of them. And so one girl said, because when they interviewed her, like, why did you take the money? You know what? Well, I thought I could. She wanted to do some. I think gifts. It was time a season for.
I think I remember that one. Yes, right. Yeah, I didn't think she was rich. I remember. That. I remember when she said she wanted the $200 for Christmas presents or something.
Yeah, and I get that. You know, you don't want to ask the parents whether you're rich or not. You know, whatever you are, you want to try to be able to do it on your. I get that.
Yeah.
So he really just preyed on them, whether they were rich or poor.
Right.
Like I said again, between 0 and 21 and 22, humans tend to be innocent. The closer you get to 0, of course, we're more innocent.
Right.
So it's just unfortunate that a lot of these individuals know that he preyed on the men that he took money from.
Yeah.
He preyed on them. I think he even had a sexual encounter with one of the men.
Well, the guy denied it, but the guy that he stole the $45 million from, they're saying they had a sexual relationship. That's a big, powerful man. I don't know. They kind of sideswiped that one.
They did. But the powerful men in that, there's a powerful man in that documentary that victimized and sexually assaulted some of those kids too.
Yes. Wow. All right. Well, it looks like we had a great conversation. We're almost out of time now. So let's tell our listeners and our watchers, Dr. Trey, you mentioned that you do have some classes that speak to this. Tell our listeners, what you do and how they can get in touch with you and how you can help them look out for these predators.
So if they go to Dr. Trey Ahia at LinkedIn, if they go to Facebook under special needs, I'm doing a series coming up here this summer into the fall that will address issues with special needs children, the assault victims. Oh, they are, perpetrated upon opioid addiction. My book talks about a lot of that addiction and focusing on teens, young
people. Tell your book again. We might not have new listeners. Okay.
Oh, can they see it in the background there?
All right. Yes. Call me an addict. All right. Well, I'm going to have a link on the show page, but yeah, okay.
And then I'm going to be doing more YouTubing than I have been under Kushi Bora. It's a Swahili term, and it's the folk Kuishi K U I S I A B O R A, meaning a better life, living an enriched, full life, live better. So that's the theme: live better with Dr. Trey. They'll start to see more of that.
Okay.
LinkedIn will have a lot of that on it. A lot of where to find me under Dr. Trey and some of the things I'm going to be doing coming up here in the summer.
Okay. Well, that's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. And they can also head to the show page, which is blog.myhelps.us. We would have a transcript of this conversation today, as well as links to Dr. Trey's book and her LinkedIn profile. And I'm also going to link you up to the Facebook because I have not seen your Facebook.
Okay. All right.
So I will definitely link up to there. And we want to thank you guys all for staying with us until the end. I want to thank you guys all for being part of our new face. We are changing the way we do this. And it looked like...
Thank you,
we didn't have any technical difficulty.
Not at all. We wore this well.
Yes, we did. We just had a conversation and it worked out really well. So yes, it was an important topic to me because I always like to join in the relevant conversations, and this is a conversation. And like I said, I've always been, kind of interested in the topic of sociopaths, psychopaths, people with antisocial kind of behavior. But all right, Dr. Trey, thank you very much for bringing it.
Yes, you always do.
gotta
bring it for the people.
You gotta bring it. That's right. So thank you very much, and until next time. Namaste.